This is Morning Edition here on NPR News. I'm Kathy Werzer. Thank you for joining us. You know, for more than 100 years, boys labeled juvenile delinquents have wound up at Boys Totem Town, a juvenile treatment center in St. Paul. The facility, tucked away on 8 wooded acres on the city's east side, will be closing for good August 1st. Thousands of young boys have gone through Totem Town over the years, but in recent years, those numbers have been declining. Only 6 boys are housed there right now. One of the reasons for that decline is a change in the philosophy about the best ways to help youth offenders. Curtis Shanklin's been working to improve the system. He is the state coordinator of the Minnesota Juvenile Detention Alternatives Initiative, and he's on the phone this morning. Mr. Shanklin, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Why are facilities like Totem Town being used less than they once were?
Well, I think as you kind of alluded to in your introduction, it has to do with a change in philosophy around how we look to service and provide the best resources for our youth now. If you think date back to the early 90s, when we were looking to be a little bit more tough on crime and looking at more punitive measures, I would like to think that stakeholders have been able to see over the last decades that there is a better way that we can address the needs of our youth that will ultimately produce better outcomes and provide them with the services they need that will put them back on track to become productive members of society.
So I'm curious there, when we look at the programs at Totem Town in the past, they were working, though. We're talking about a different model nowadays, but would you say that those programs have been working to this point?
Well, I would say yes and no. When you think about the youth, ultimately, that we place here in Minnesota, I think it's important to put this into context. Here in Minnesota, over about 70% of the youth who we do place in secure confinement are for what we consider our Part 2 offenses. So those are our lesser persons or property crimes. When you think about the youth who we place in out-of-home placements, such as places like Boys Totem Town, over 54% of those youth are for those same type of offenses. So when you really are looking at the broader picture, we have to ask ourselves, are we placing the right youth in out-of-home placement, and are we doing them a disservice by removing them from their families and their communities, where we can probably provide the same services at a much cheaper cost, and that will probably be more efficient and more effective, keeping them in the communities again that they will ultimately be returning to, and finding ways in which that we can continue to bolster those services along with working with the family members and the family dynamics. So I think there's been a philosophy and a change in thinking, do we really need to place these youth who are really for not serious violent persons or property crimes in these facilities in the first place?
We've been talking, you are a big proponent of community-based programming. What kinds of programs are there right now? What kinds of treatment do these young folks need? And are these different organizations adequately delivering those programs to those young people?
Well, I think it's along the continuum of as we're one of the things that we encourage our stakeholders to do is look at resources not on a risk base, but looking at more of a needs base. Again, many of these facilities, when you look at them, they are not either cultural specific or gender specific. I think that, too, has contributed to the change in philosophy of getting away from using out-of-home placements to actually meet the needs of our youth. So rather than placing our youth in secure confinement, are there any community-based organizations that we can utilize that are both cultural-specific or gender-specific that we can use if it's absolutely necessary to meet the needs of those youth? And that is, if we're looking at alternatives to secure confinement, that could be youth are simply utilizing a shelter rather than being placed in secure confinement. There's a number of other alternatives that we implore and that we utilize for our youth rather than placing them in secure confinement. And I think we have to start thinking about ways in which that we are going to address many of these youth issues that stem from mental health and chemical dependency and no longer looking at them as a criminal justice issue, but through a public health lens. And what resources do we have through social services and things like that that are more about rehabilitation and not so much about a punitive approach on how we look to meet the needs and ultimately address the issues that our youth are having that is going to put them on a better trajectory.
A lot to talk about here. I appreciate this brief conversation. Thank you.
No, thank you. I really appreciate the time.